Good morning, friends. Just to clarify, we are no longer CMMA international workers. We are in Paris working with Alliance Church because the French Alliance Union, they invited us over to serve as missionaries. So it's nice to be back. I just want to ask you, how many of you still remember what Pastor Don talked about last week? Pastor Don talked about how to be a good disciple, right? Right? But today we're going to shift a little bit, but still going along that theme. Today we're going to talk about not just to be a good disciple, but know your true identity in the triune God. You know, I see a bunch of you, young people, or your people young in heart, people in your 20s and 30s, people who are juggling with careers, family obligations, and serving church, and while working full time. A lot of you are measuring yourself by your output. You have a lot of things to do week by week, and your to-do list growing week after week. Before my wife Wendy and I served as missionaries in Tokyo, we were corporate executives. We walked away from stable salary, comfortable lives, and became poor seminarians, and later on became poor missionaries. We didn't have salary. We only have a living allowance. So I carry this hidden burden. I constantly calculate the opportunity cost. How many of you are in economics, taking economics, or have taken economic courses before? So you know what's opportunity cost, right? Stepping away from high-paying job, and all the way became, from somebody, all of a sudden became nobody. So as I was serving, as we were serving in Tokyo, I constantly think about the salary that I have surrendered, the nice cruise trips I have forfeited, that, you know, now I'm in Tokyo, riding bicycles with my sons every night, go to different grocery stores to pick up the on-sale items. So in Japan, I had this unspoken standard. I could not waste a single minute. No downtime, no unproductive hours. Every moment has to be filled with language study, outreach events, or ministry planning. We moved to Japan to share God's rest with a culture crushed by overwork. But we adopted the same exhausting, performance-driven rhythm ourselves. It took me years to find out the root issue. I anchor my sense of self to what it could produce rather than the unshakable identity we have in our triune God. Every night in Tokyo, I was crying out to God. I said, God, can this be lighter? Can this yoke be lighter? I only look at the yoke I was carrying. I was not looking at God. So today, we're going to walk through Matthew 4 to find out our true selves. We're going to be looking at how Satan attacked Jesus' identity. We're going to be seeing how those same lies are hitting us today. And we're going to see how triune God defeated those lies for us. And we're going to work together to find the rule of life that will help us to anchor in that truth. Let me pray. Father, we know that a lot of times we just look at our own issues, our own limitations, and we have lost sight of what a beautiful God you are, how faithful God you are. For Father, I pray that you will speak to us, use your own words. Help us to see our true identity in Christ. Help us to be filled with your spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So before we dive in chapter 4, we need to see what happened in chapter 3. What happened in chapter 3? So before Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he was baptized. He went as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Verse 17, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." So does Jesus know this identity of his? He does. Does Satan know this identity of Jesus? He also know. So what happened in chapter 4? So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And verse 2, it says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You know, if you are going to a battle, okay, if you are one of the soccer players playing FIFA World Cup 2026, representing Canada, would you be fasting before you go on to the field? You wouldn't, right? So why was Jesus fasting? When you read this scripture, I don't know if that ever, you know, come to you. Why fast? You know, he wasn't like Pastor Henry, who carries extra burden around his waist. Needs to go on diet 168. Why Jesus fast? This wasn't just a physical discipline of Jesus. It was a theological reenactment. Israel wandered in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. Complaining and failing. Jesus, the true Israel, entered a 40-day wilderness of fasting. He placed himself in a true vulnerability. He's physically depleted, isolated, and weak. And that's exactly when Satan chooses to strike. You know, as I was praying every night in Tokyo, right? The thing that kept coming to my mind was, God, you want me to be here to share your light to a nation full of darkness. Why don't you give me more? Why don't you send your angels to help me so I can learn the language faster, be able to do miraculous ministry and move on? Why am I still struggling every day learning the language? I was depleted. I was isolated, even though I had families around me, my immediate family around me. And spiritually, I was weak. So a lot of times, at those nights, I was crying, self-pitying myself. Like, God, where are you? I only saw my own issues. And that's when Satan chose to strike. Satan isn't just tempting Jesus to sin. He's attacking Jesus' identity. So he asked, if you are truly the Son of God. See, do you know who wrote the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew, right? Who was his intended audience? Come on, wake up. I know it's early. Who was his intended audience? Jews. Okay. So to the Jews, like the first century Jews, right? When they saw this Son of God, what first come to their mind? Messiah. And for these first century Jews, their views of Messiah were varied. For example, the Sadducees had no messianic hope. In other words, they don't believe a Messiah will come. Sadducees. The Pharisees, who focused on the law and oral tradition, believed Messiah would be a king of some sort, like King David, a warrior or political king. So if there were so many conflicting views of Messiah, warriors, priests, heavenly judge, political king, Satan wasn't just testing Jesus on a specific job description. Instead, he was attacking the source of Jesus' identity that just had been revealed in his baptism. So when Satan says, "If you are the Son of God," he isn't asking approval of Jesus' lineage or political role. He is challenging the Father's declaration and trying to force Jesus to prove his identity on Satan's terms. Let me repeat this. Satan wasn't asking Jesus to show his job description. He is challenging, in this verse, the Father's declaration and trying to force Jesus to prove his identity on Satan's term. So how did he do that? How is he doing that? Temptation one. Satan says, if the Father truly cared for you, you wouldn't be hungry. Take matters into your own hands. Generate your own provision. Turn this stone into bread. And how did Jesus respond? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He anchors his life in the Father's word, not his own stomach. You know, when Pastor Don preached to you about being a true disciple, being a faithful disciple, I think one of the criteria is know your Bible, know God's story. If you don't know God's story, how do you know your true identity? You don't know your true identity unless you know how you become who you are. How did you become who you are? What's ahead of you? What's lying ahead of you? And the only way to know that is by knowing God's story, God's word. Jesus know his story. Jesus know God's story. Jesus know Satan was just trying to tempt him. Satan also know the Bible well, but Jesus had a response for him. You know, when we were doing missionary work in Taiwan, you know, the people I really love to talk to are the people who worship idols. Do you know why? Because those people who worship idols actually have a craving for spiritual truth or have spiritual earning. They want to know who is the God that they can rely on. And by having these people in conversation with you, then you can share with them God's story in your life. But without knowing God's word, how can you do that? Jesus demonstrated for us to know our true identity in the triune God. We need to know our God's story. And if you don't know your God's story, there's no way you can share the good news. You can't just tell people, repent, repent, repent. You gotta also show the grace. So first temptation is know your true identity. You first need to know God loves you. God will not let you go hungry. God does not want you to take matter into your own hands. God will give you his provision. But you need to know your Bible. You need to know God's story. The second temptation came soon after. The devil drags Jesus to the highest point of the temple. And he twists the scripture saying, throw yourself down. Prove it. Show them who you are. Show them who you really are. Jesus' response was, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He refuses to manufacture glory for himself. Jesus, Satan show him, and Jesus know that if his identity as God's son is really true, then he can only know that he needs to have faith in God's protection. He does not need the public spectacle and admiration. You know, being pastor is a really tough job. You're earning a very low salary, and then you have to do so much. So pastors are not here for their own glories. Pastors are here to serve for God's glory. So as you serve in the church, in your workplace, you need to know who are you really serving for? Are you serving for your own selfish desire, or are you serving for the glory of God? The glory will last forever. Jesus knows that. Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He doesn't need glory for himself. We don't need this glory. We don't need this glory. We need to know that our performance, our career ambition will one day be forgotten. But God's glory will live on forever. You know, we easily making comparison. You know, I remember when we were working in Tokyo, we saw our missionary friends who had been in Tokyo for over 30 years, but still speak very little Japanese. So we start to make comparison, think that we are better than them. We think that us being Asian, we have a culture of overachieving. And now in Tokyo, in Japan, we also need to be like that. But God taught me a lesson. It's not what we can do, it's what he can do. You are only a child of God. People don't need to recognize your accomplishment. People need to see God through you. And that's what Jesus has done. That's what Jesus done in line number 3. When Satan offered him the whole world, all the splendor in the world, Jesus know where his true identity is. He doesn't need this. He needs God. And so as we are here today, you know, when we come back from Paris to Toronto, only for half a year, everything I feel became so expensive. People are suffering. People are suffering. But if you keep only looking at your own suffering, your life will be miserable. Your life will be miserable. We need to shift our focus and shift back to God. And that's what Jesus did in this temptation number 3. Don't look at the world. It's beautiful. That's great. It's bad, that's also okay. Because God's in control. We are not in control. People like to go to Paris, and I know why. Because Paris is one of the most beautiful places I have seen after traveling around the world all these years. It's beautiful. But you know, do you know what's happening in Paris right now? The heat dome. Every night my wife will call me, Pastor Wendy will call me, "Hon, do you know how hot today in Paris? 38, 39 degrees. And in Paris, in a lot of European places, they don't have AC. They don't have AC. They don't. They don't even have fans. And if you have walked on the street of Paris, you will know how smelly the city is, how dirty the city is. Why? Because they don't have public washrooms. And for the few public washrooms that they have, you have to pay money to get in. It's not cheap. Usually, it's about €2. How much is €2 in Canadian dollars? Five? Four? Think about it. If you go to Fairview Mall, and you when you need to use washroom, you had to pay $5. That wouldn't be. I don't think that would be a good feeling. So what I want to say is, don't just be tempted, be fooled by what you are seeing. Because the things that keep changing. You need to anchor yourself in the truth, which can only be found in God alone. Paris is beautiful, but once you live there, you know it's not a good place to live. Same as Tokyo. People like to go to Tokyo. Wow, so clean and so nice. But once you live there, you know how oppressive the atmosphere is. Why am I sharing with all this to you? Because I want you to shift your focus back on God, back to God. And that's what happened in the temptation 3. Satan offered a shortcut. If you worship me, all this will be given to you. But you know who's going to be conquering, defeating Satan at the end of the world? It's Jesus himself. So this is delayed gratification. A lot of times we don't like delayed gratification. We know something will be better for us in the future. But we still live in the present. We still want this our earthly life to be well off. I'm not condemning well off, okay? If God bless you with a lot of money, with a lot of things, that's great. But you gotta know, this is only a short period of our time. We have eternity with God. This life will pass very quickly. Last time I was here, I shared with you, 20 years ago, I was hitting home runs. Now, if you ask me to hit the ball to the outfield, I will be struggling. But to me, that was just like yesterday. To some of you, right? You're still young right now, yes. But before you know it, you'll be married. You will have kids of your own. And I understand why Victor want to go out again. Because our life is so short. If we don't seize this opportunity will pass on. Same with this church. So we got to know where what is important to us. God's kingdom is important to us. So how did Jesus fight with this temptation? Jesus know his identity, and Jesus use the knowledge he have for the Father to conquer all these lies. How do we live out this hope that we have in our Father, our Son, and the Holy Spirit? I don't know if you know this author. It's a Japanese pastor called Ken Shigematsu. He used to work as a corporate leader in Sony in Tokyo. And after a few years, he came back to Canada. Now he's an author and pastor in Vancouver. He has this book called Good in Everything. Good in Everything. Not all of you will be called to do pastoral work. Not all of you will be called to do missionary work. But all of you are called to share gospel, to bring the light into the nation. The nations around us. And I know a lot of times it's hard. A lot of times it's hard to share to other people that you might not know about your faith. But before we do that, before we even start sharing the gospel to our neighbors, to our colleagues, to our friends. We need to make sure we are in a good spiritual healthy state. We need to make sure we are in line with God, God's plan, God's vision. So how do we do that? You know, I share with you about my story in Japan. We were so busy. We were just like those Japanese that we are trying to share the gospel with. We didn't have a good spiritual relationship with God. So we spent a lot of time self-pitying, fighting with our missionary colleagues. Before you become a good disciple, before you become a good servant of God, you need to have good, healthy relationship with God. And it all starts from Sabbath. It all starts from good Sabbath. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Not only fasting, he was building connection with the Lord. Although the Bible didn't say he was praying to God, but if he wasn't building the connection with the Lord, why was he fasting? We need to find our rest in God, in him alone. So I recommend you to suggest you to set aside one day a week. I don't care which day. For me, it's Thursday. Be free from work, from ministry, from things you want to produce for others. And declare that day to be a holy day. The day that you only spend with God. And tell yourself, I'm valuable because I'm loved, not because I can produce. God doesn't need us to produce. God needs us to have good relationship with him. And you start with Sabbath. Before we became missionary, we really want to go to Indonesia because we just like the culture there. Things are cheaper, so we don't have to risk so much support. So I studied Muslim. I don't know how much you know about Muslim. They stop five times in a day to pause, to pray. And I think that's a spiritual discipline that we as Christians also can learn from. Sometimes we are just so busy running. By the time we get home, we are just too tired to do anything. But during that busy day, do you still have to go to the washroom? Do you still have to eat? You do, right? So just use that small fragment of time to pause and to pray. Think about what are you doing? Are you just doing it because you are told to do things? Or are you really doing it as your offering to God? That's something that you can do very quickly. But develop that spiritual habit. Slow down and pray. Make sure you know what you are doing. Just like when we are driving, right? Our eyes will not always look in front of our car, right? We'll keep looking around. Why? Because we need to know what's going on. We need to know our situation. Same thing, as we busy doing all the tasks for our work days, or retired people, I don't know who's retired, just take that 5-10 minutes break. Think about our relationship with the Lord. And when we read scripture in the morning or night, do it slowly. Don't just like ordering a McDonald's fast food. They prepare fast for you, and you also want to finish fast for yourself. You can use AI to know about the Bible, but don't use AI to do everything. And when you read the scripture, slow down, and think about what it means to you. Two, we need to have a vulnerable friendship. What does it mean to have a vulnerable friendship? Once a month or once every so often, meet with a trusted friend. Share with him, share with her honestly about your situation in life, in your marriage, at work. With that conversation, mutually remind yourselves and your friend about your identity in Christ. Things that you might miss. We all need to have a good accountability. And lastly, offer yourself. When Paul talks about offering yourself as a living sacrifice in Romans 12, he's using an Old Testament analogy. Right? In the Old Testament, they make offering all the time. But in the New Testament, it's a little bit different. God does not want a dead offering. God wants a living offering. You know why? Because the living offering will keep evolving, will keep progressing, will keep growing the relationship he or she has with God. Brothers and sisters, I know in Canada right now, the life is not easy. I know things are getting very, very expensive. And the job prospect is not good. But don't lose faith, because you need to know who you really are before you can face these challenges, before you can tackle the task that God has given to you. You need to know your identity is with the triune God, with the God, the Father, who loves you dearly, with Jesus, who has already defeated every temptation on your behalf, who has resurrected so that you and I have hope in the new heaven, new Jerusalem. And you have Holy Spirit who is working beside you to remind you that your true identity is in Jesus. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, redeemed by Jesus, loved by the Father. We don't need any more accomplishment. We don't. We just need to build a better relationship with God and know who we truly are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are your beloved children. Forgive us for listening to the lies that we saw, that say we must perform to be loved. Thank you, Jesus, for winning the victory in the wilderness so that we don't have to fight alone. Holy Spirit, anchor us today. Teach us to rest, to trust, and to abide in you. Our identity as your sons and daughters rests on your grace alone. Grant us an obedient heart and the faith to trust you. We know a lot of times we just want to be in control. We just want to prove to others that we are worthy. We just want to show our families, our friends, that we can produce. But Father, we know that those are all secondary compared to our true identity that can only be found in Christ. Father, all we can do is offer ourselves to you. Doesn't matter how small that might be. Father, give us that heart. We want to do this every day, not just on Sunday. Father, a lot of times we lack faith. Give us faith. Give us your guidance so we can finish the race well. I also want to pray for the church. Father, I want to thank you for giving them Pastor Don to guide them, to support them, to love them. Father, I pray that you will raise more of your people to co-work with Pastor Don, to co-work with you, to build your church in this area, in this neighborhood. continue to bless everyone in our midst. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name.